from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, we're going to continue the conversation from yesterday about how I find myself a lot more optimistic about the state of the Giants than most. So I'm going to elaborate on that a little bit, including looking back on the past few seasons and having an interesting conversation about why it is that suddenly fans and media alike are really down on the Giants when they have been really struggling and in a lot worse shape as an organization for several years prior to now. So it's more like, you know, people are finally realizing that they weren't contenders in 2017 and 18 and 19. And now, you know, by the time they're finally on their way back up, people are finally catching on. And the negativity is like a little past due. And now it's time for some positivity. And yet here we are flooded with negativity. So I also want to talk about a little bit more about the mindset that I previewed yesterday at FanFest. There was some more specific examples from players and their mindset and why I just think that this team and its mentality is in a lot better shape than it has been in recent years. So we can just jump right into that with the note that pitchers and catchers report today in Scottsdale for the Giants. So it has also been reported that pretty much all of the position players are also showing up at this point in time. There's going to be a lot of competition in spring, and players want to get out there and get acclimated with the new, you know, coaching staff, and just things are going to be really different here for the Giants moving forward, but especially this new, you know, season with all the coaches are new and, you know, people are introducing themselves and there are some new players in the mix and there is a lot of competition. So it'll be fun to get all the stories and the, you know, hear from the players and hear from the coaches and see some of what's going on there. It's going to be really fascinating. I thought that Andrew Baggerly wrote an excellent piece that came out last night or this morning about the way to approach the 2020 season from a fan's perspective. And I thought he really hit the nail on the head in that if you're just purely wanting a good record and a playoff appearance, then you're probably going to be disappointed. But if you take an interest in the process, then this season is not going to be boring at all. And that's 100% I'm on board with that. And I'm not saying they're going to be awful and just enjoy the process. I think they're going to be a lot more competitive than people give them credit for. And they're going to be able to create favorable matchups pretty much like every time they come to the plate, which can really translate. We saw it last year. Like the reason fans liked Stephen Vogt a lot is because he did well in that kind of platoon role where he was only facing righties for the most part, and he produced when he was in there. And so the Giants have lots of guys like that who can provide that type of valuable at-bat where they're not an everyday guy, they're not being overextended, but when they're in there, they're producing. So that, if people like want to hate on platoons, but then also loved Stephen Vogt, but that was the role of Stephen Vogt. He was in there in a platoon role. And really, you could say the same thing about Alex Dickerson. When he was out there and producing, it was against righties, and he was not starting against left-handed pitching. And so if you liked what Alex Dickerson was doing when in his part-time role, obviously the injuries played a big part in ultimately how his season went. But, you know, that's the idea, is you're getting good production when these players are in there, but they're not in there 162 games against every single pitcher that comes in. But instead, you're just getting like spurts of each of these guys, and they're providing value every time they come up to the plate. Stephen Vogt was a threat every time he came up to the plate because he was generally only facing righties against whom he is good. So that's my little tangent there. Didn't really mean to go down that road. So anyway, I want to shift gears to the mentality. And there was a video clip that originally I saw as captured by Mark Sanchez of KNBR talking to Buster Posey, who just had an attitude in this interview of humility. And I know he's always been like a humble guy, but gone are the days where we're like pretending that these guys are going to anchor a championship core and lead them to the promised land again. And instead, there's a more realistic mindset from fans and media, but also from the players themselves. And Posey was essentially just saying that he thinks he has more to give and more to produce, and that he's not happy with the way things have gone, and that he's open-minded to embracing any kind of change that can help him compete and stay relevant and be an offensive threat again. Like, basically in the interview, he's questioning, or he's revealing that he's doubted himself, like, can I get back to producing at that level? And that he doesn't want to be at the level he's been at the last few years, where he's not producing anymore and the power's been completely sapped. So he's got a mindset of willingness. He's willing to hear other voices and new voices that are telling him something different about how he can get back to being the player that he was. And naturally, he said he didn't want to speak for anybody else like Crawford and Longoria and Belt, but that he believed that they would have the same attitude. And sure enough, you know, hearing from Crawford and hearing from Longoria and hearing from Belt, they've all pretty much said the same thing, that they are invigorated with the new coaching staff and the staff being committed to helping them be the best players they can be. Because this seems to be something we overlook, the idea that the players don't want to change. Like, are they happy? Is Buster Posey happy with the way that his offensive numbers have just been sputtering and declining consistently every single year? Is Crawford happy with the year that he put up last year? Is Belt happy with the disappointing season he had? Does Longoria want to get back to being like a star like he used to be, or is he content not being very good anymore? I think that these guys are competitive athletes who expect the best out of themselves. And if they have any kind of reason to believe that this staff may be able to help them get back to being elite at what they do, they're going to be open-minded, and that's what we've seen so far. Posey has admitted it. Crawford and Longoria have been in Scottsdale already working on this stuff with the coaches who they said have been there for a month and a half already. And Crawford said that when he showed up to Scottsdale, the coaching staff was so prepared it blew him away. They had looked basically at his at-bats dating all the way back to his rookie season in 2011. Analyzing what worked for him throughout his career, like when he's done well, what was he doing, and what are maybe some things that he was doing last year that went away from what he was doing when he had his most success, and that they've already been working on some adjustments. And he said they were small adjustments, but he's optimistic. He went into some detail. He said last year at the plate, he felt really good every time he came up to the box, but he ended up hitting a lot of ground balls to the second baseman. And so he couldn't really figure out how to stop doing that. And I mean, as people who follow the Giants, we can certainly speak to the fact that he has, in fact, hit a lot of ground balls to second base. And Posey, likewise, pulled ground balls to the left side, to shortstop and third, has been a huge problem for him. And you're not hitting for power when you're rolling over to the shortstop. So anyway, Crawford's embracing it, Posey's open-minded, Longoria's embracing it, Belt sounded open-minded as well, and the infrastructure is there. And Pence is somebody who did this on his own before the Giants brought this type of infrastructure into their own major league dugout. And so he's going to be a hugely influential player in terms of getting other players to buy in, because he's going to be working on this stuff and talking to the hitting coaches about what he did and what worked. And that's going to rub off on other players. So I just think there's a lot of reason for optimism about the buy-in and the mentality. And the other thing is they seem to, like, there's less pressure on them right now. Like, people don't expect them to do well. And I think that they have this mentality that they want to go out there and prove some people wrong. And I think that they actually are decently well-suited to do so. And there's also just this lightheartedness, I think, with some of the youth being mixed in, that takes some of the pressure and the seriousness off the shoulders of the veterans. Like, you've got Dubon walking around with a big smile on his face. That takes pressure off the veterans, you know. It provides energy for these guys. And you've got Mike Yastrzemski. I know he's a little older for a, you know, rookie, but He's a new player that provides some life and energy and takes pressure off some of the older veterans. So I just find myself being way more optimistic than the average analyst about the state of the Giants. So we'll talk more about that conversation and really looking back on previous seasons and why are we suddenly being so negative about this team when they were in much worse shape in the recent past. So we'll look into that next. But first, all right, here in the second half, I want to look back on kind of the previous few years and try to figure out why people are suddenly being so negative. Like, you can't, generally speaking, read an article these days about the Giants without they're in the introductory kind of paragraph, setting the tone of the paragraph. They're going to say, well, it's going to be a really difficult season and you're going to have to endure some disgusting baseball if you want to watch this team. But maybe it won't be so bad because of XYZ. Like, that's pretty much every article kind of starts out that way. But why was that not the way that articles were coming out in 2017? I mean, my goodness, that 2017 was some of the worst baseball that I've seen from the Giants in my lifetime, if not the worst. And by the way, I mean, a credit to Farhan Zaidi and what he's done since taking over, because they have, in my mind, very much improved their outlook and in the meantime incorporated some talented and interesting players at the major league level versus some other teams. I mean, if you look at the Detroit Tigers, for example, yes, their farm system is getting pretty strong, but mostly because they've been so bad for several years in a row, they keep getting really high draft picks, like top 1, 2, 3 draft picks for multiple years straight. But so they and the Giants tied for the worst record in baseball at 98 losses in 2017. But from there, the Giants did go on to win, you know, to only lose 89 games in 2018, whereas the Tigers lost 98 games for a second straight year. And then last year, the Giants, you know, people seem to forget they nearly, they were flirting with 500 and they had a chance towards the end of the year to get to close to 500. They ended up 77-85, which means if they had just won 4 more games all season long, they would have been a 500 team. So that's not as bad as people seem to paint them out to be. But anyway, so that's only 85 losses, whereas the Tigers, after 2 straight 98 loss seasons, lost 114 games in 2019, 47 wins and 114 losses. So we act like, you know, people act like the Giants are the laughingstock of baseball, but to me, they're like very much trending upwards. And even after that 98 loss season, they've been trending in the right direction versus, man, can you imagine 98-98, then 114 lost seasons? But so anyway, I just can't quite wrap my mind around why we're specifically the fans are acting like so down on this team, when what kind of reason was there not to be down on this team starting with the second half collapse in 2016? So the Giants in 2016 had like the best record in baseball in the first half of the year, and then very nearly had the worst record in baseball in the second half of the year. And that was the beginning of the end. That is when this whole thing fell apart. Yes, they made the postseason, lost in the first round to the Cubs, and then they had a 98 loss 2017. So things were suddenly looking real bad. Farm system was barren. That's when like the Hunter Pences and Brandon Crawfords and Brandon Belts of the world, like suddenly it started to become apparent. They were all starting to decline together. And someone like Pence, it was a major decline. But there, that was a red flag. I mean, things were looking bleak right then and there after that season. So then in 2018, what do they do? Instead of maybe trying to build towards the future a little bit, they pushed all their chips into the middle, going after McCutchen and Longoria and giving up future pieces like Brian Reynolds in the McCutchen deal and Christian Arroyo in the Longoria deal, plus taking on the 5 years remaining on Longoria's contract into his mid to late 30s. Like, he's going to be 37, I think, when that contract expires that the Giants took on. So that was a mistake. Like, if you look back on it, you can clearly see they should not have done those moves. And it's, quite frankly, the straw that broke the camel's back and got Bobby Evans fired and brought in Farhan Zaidi, because that season, they treaded water a little bit. They flirted with 500 for most of the year, but then, you know, some injuries kicked in and they started to lose a lot. And then they traded McCutchen and started to lose even more. and ended up losing 89 games. So the roster then that Farhan Zaidi took over was doomed at that point because they had really hurt themselves by overextending their window, basically, and trying to keep winning with the group they had that was overpaid and declining without a strong farm system, without help coming on the way. So it's hard to take that roster and turn it into a good team. I mean, it takes a little bit of time. And I thought they made positive steps in 2019 with the emergence of several players who contributed in a big way, from Yastrzemski to Dickerson to Vogt to Solano to Trevor Gott. The farm system, lots of guys took big steps forward. They made some incredible trades like Drew Pomeranz for Mauricio Dubon. The Dickerson and Yastrzemski deals were also trades. Kevin Pillar was a trade. So Farhan Zaidi proved that he had this knack for pulling off really good trades and getting quality players for next to nothing, and that he had an eye for talent. I get it. Like, some guys didn't pan out, but people act like they could do this themselves. Like, oh, they could just pick a bunch of players and some of them are going to pan out. Well, why weren't the Giants doing that in 2017 and 2018? Where were the talented and team controllable players that they uncovered in 2017 and 18? They didn't have them. It just didn't happen. So it is not as easy as some people think it is, I guess. And yes, like, Dickerson and Yastrzemski may not be 22, but they have multiple years of extremely cheap team control. So that's all that really matters, because you can retain those guys. You know that you can retain them at below market value cost, which enables you at some point to spend to supplement the surplus that you have with those players. So that's how you build a quality team. And the idea is, in this season, that it's probably going to be a similar year to last year, but I think with continued steps in the right direction and continued progress from the minor league system. Plus, you know, the draft is going to be a big one for the Giants. They have several top 100 picks, more than they've had in any season I can remember. And, you know, losing Bumgarner and Smith, they get two extra picks for those players departing in free agency. Picks, I believe, like number 61 and 62 in the draft. So they're going to replenish their system even more. They'll probably make more trades like the one that netted them Mauricio Dubon. Things are very much trending positively. And ironically, the conversation has become more negative than ever when things are finally looking up. So we'll look back on this, I think, and see that this was the beginning of the future. That's kind of how I see the 2020 season. Last year was more of a transition away from the past and into the future, and I think now is more the beginning of the future for the Giants. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Remember to get this show every weekday. You need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.